I think this is the most complicated Gemara that we had so far, no? And the Masechta. These two dafim, you David and Tezva. Let's see again. Let's start again. Hashechet b'Shabbos, v'yom HaKippur ma'pish and mischay b'nafsho shechitos hakshir. So the Rishonim have on this Mishnah an interesting question. The first Tesis on Yudalan and Aleph, they raise a question. And we had a whole Gemara before on Daf Hey. There was a machlokes Reb Meir and a Chachamim. Reb Meir holds Mumma the Dover Echad is Dina Kinachri Lachala Terakula. Mumma the Dover Echad, wow. A guy cheats in business. A guy's a ganav. He's always a ganav. So he's Dina Kakum Lachala Terakula. You can't give him an aliyah. Wow, it's like giving an aliyah to a guy. A person who talks Lashon Hara all the time. Dina Kakum. I can't imagine. How can it be? Anyway, we don't pass like Reb Meir. What's the question is, maybe we hold Mumma the Dabrech is Dina Kakum. Lo is a Dabr. That's a Ramoa in Hilchot Shechita. That, let's say, a person never had a bris, and on principle he doesn't want to have a bris. He's a Mumma, and he does want to give his children a bris. The other mitzvahs he does keep. Our person is, let's say, a homosexual. He violates that din all the time. According to Reb Meir, dinik nachri. Wow. You can't give an aliyah. Anyway, we don't pass like Reb Meir. Okay. The only shaila is, let's say, a person doesn't like the mitzvah milo. Mumra darecha. So would you say dinik nachri with respect to the mitzvah of milo? So therefore, he cannot serve as a moil. He cannot function as a moil. So there's a Ramo like that in Hilchas Mila. In the third Chelek Yerodeh, the Ramo says, one is a Mumar, Lemil, Mumar L'Arelus, Zdina Ka'akum L'Arelus. So therefore, he can give him an Aliyah, he can give him a Tzar from to a minion for other intents and purposes, not Dina Kenachri, but with respect to the mitzvah of Mila, Zdina Kenachri, so he cannot be a moil. Just like a Nochri, the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah, a Nochri cannot be served as a mile, so the Mumma La'arelus cannot serve as a mile. That's a questionable Ramo. Anyway, so Reb Meir holds a Mumma La'arelus Dina Kakum L'chol Terakul. We don't hold like that. We hold, when is a person Dina Kakum? If it's either Mumma La'arelus Dina HaTorah that he's aware of, Mumma La'arelus Dina HaTorah doesn't keep Kashrus, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, he violates Rav Mitzvah Satara that to come his way. Or would he have a Mumma the Dover Echad who's Dina Kenachri? So either Mumma la Bidazara or Mumma la Hal Shabbos Beferhesia is Dina Kakum. As a Tosis is bothered with Akasha, Ashechad Bishabbos, how can it be Shechitosek Sher? Isn't he a Mumma la Hal Shabbos? So Tosis and many Rishonim say, no, Mumma la Hal Shabbos only Beferhesia. Maybe Shechting Betzidah. Then they give another answer. They think he doesn't become a mumer with pamachas. Doesn't become a mumer with once. You have to repeat, he has to be ruggled to do the aver. At the end in Shulchan Aruch, how many times does he have to do? Two times or three times? Betrayzim nehabe chazok, betlasim nehabe chazok. How many times does the person have to repeat over and over and over again Chilul Shabbos that it should be considered a mumer? A mumer, rogel bekach. The Rambam here in the Pirush HaMishnah, so I was looking, I have this gigantic Gemara Chulam downstairs that's so heavy I can barely pick it up. So they don't have the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnah. The old Gemara, the skinny Gemara, has every normal Gemara has a Pirush HaMishnah. So there's a famous Pirush HaMishnah here that they quote in the Yoredeya, that the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is, in the middle of the Shechita, he didn't do the Malacha yet. When he finishes the Shechita on this behemoth, then he's a Mumma Dina Ka'akum. But in the middle, he's still in the middle of being Mechal Shabbos. So the Rambam just says, after he finishes the Chilul Shabbos, it becomes. The Rambam doesn't require you should do a few times. After Mechal Shabbos once. The question is, does Tosfos probably doesn't mean that? Thus it seems to hold that you have to do a few times. You have to repeat it a few times. That machlokes in the Gemara has a machlokes with a And Yevamis, the Gemara has a machlekes Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether betrays him, they have a chazaka, but plus him, they have a chazaka. Let's say hemophilia is passed on by the mother, not by the father. That's what the Mechaber writes like that. The Rama didn't know, so the Rama writes that even passed on by the father. But medically, it can only be passed on by the mother, like the Mechaber writes. So let's say a woman has a boy, and they did a bris, and the baby died. And we're not sure. We're not sure why. We don't know. They knew that there was such a thing as hemophilia, that a person keeps on bleeding, but they're not sure if that's why the baby died. And then her sister had a baby, and they had a bris, also the baby died. And a third sister had a baby, and that baby died. Well, she herself had two or three babies. So if a few babies die, then we establish a chazaka. So you have to establish a chazaka to be able to predict in advance that for sure the baby's going to die. If you have a svek sveka of a zafik sakan, is decha kala terakula. So why do you have to? So this machlek is Rabbi Hashem Gamliel. How many babies have to die that you should say that there's a suffix of sakonis nefoshes? With the betray zimnia, but the betla zimnia. Gemara paskins two. You don't need three. Means if two babies die, either two babies from the same woman or two babies from the sisters, that's enough to create a latest hasafik that maybe there's a problem. It's not that betray zimnia have a chazok, we predict that that's going to happen. It's a suffix. It's a latest. How many times does a strange thing have to repeat itself that you should say that we may be discerning a pattern? But here, you don't say that the fellow's dinakak because he may be a mumer. You have to have maybe the whole discussion whether betrays him. What's the other case where the Gemara has a shayla? What's the other case? Katlanis, the Gemara talks about. Rambam has a tshuva. The Rambam says the whole issue of Katlanis is all a fake. That people were nervous. That if a woman was married and one husband died, then she married another husband, he dies. So the people were nervous. The Rambam says if they won't be nervous, there's no din of Katlanis. The whole thing is all, the whole nichush, the whole thing is not scientific, and you should just ignore it. But the episodes, others think that it's a real chashash. So the Gemara says, how many husbands have to die that it should create a late, if it's a real suffix, how many husbands have to die that it should be a later suffix? They may be being married to this woman, and maybe there's some disease that the man is catching from the woman. Maybe she's transmitting some disease to him. So if you have a suffix, a svek of a suffix sakana, so you already have to ask. So that's the same as Mesa Banam Achmas Mila. How many children have to die that it should be considered a suffix of sakonis nefoshes? So that's a machlek is two or three. But over here, maybe need more than two or three. Well, let's say, what's another case? You're eating rice, and you find a bug in the rice. So just because you found one bug doesn't mean that that the whole rice or the whole flour was infested with bugs. Then you find another bug eating the same rice. Or everybody's eating in the Chadar Ochel. Usually in Eretz, the climate is much warmer than in America, so the bugs thrive more there than over here. So they're eating in the yeshiva, the Chadar Ochel, one guy screams out, one. Another guy screams out, two. That's it. So everybody has to stop eating the rice. Because if you have two bugs, it's already a latest suffix. Maybe the whole thing was infested. It's a suffix. If it's a suffix, it's already also. But here you don't declare the guy's din kakam because of a suffix. You have to say about this. How many times does they have to be mechal Shabbos? How many times does they have to worship Avodah Zarah that we call him a mumer Avodah Zarah? A mumer mechal Shabbos. Probably more than two or three times. Okay. So that, and the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says no. Chal Shabbos once did a kakam, but while he's shechting, he didn't finish the Chilul Shabbos yet. It's not a malacha till after he finishes. While he's shechting, it's mekalkal. If he doesn't finish, he just caused the animal to bleed and he's killing the animal. When he finishes the whole shechita, and it's a kosher shechita, then it's a malacha bin misakin. Then he did shechit. Shechit is one of Lamatel Shabbos malacha. That's misakin. Okay. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The first Taisis is brought up in Shulchan Aruch, an issue. How many times does a person have to be mechal Shabbos that before Hesiod that it should be considered a mum mechal Shabbos before Hesiod? If the din would have been like Reb Meir, that's what Tosi says. The Gemara had a Havamina over here. Maybe the Mishnah does go like Reb Meir. The first daf Yudalad, they thought it's Reb Yud as in disagreement with Reb Shimon by Mukta. Had nothing to do with Reb Meir. But on the second daf on Tezvav, they think that it's Reb Yud in disagreement with Reb Meir by Mevashel B'Shabbos. So there was a suggestion at what point in the Gemara, why do you say the Mishnah is only Reb Yud? Maybe it's Reb Meir. So Tosa jumps on that. How can it be Reb Meir? Meir holds Mumad Dover Echad is Dina Kakam Lachala Terakula. So if it's Mumad Dover Echad, you don't need Befarhesia. If you single out Mumad Chal Shabbos, and Mumad Dover Dizor, said then only Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. But if you all like Reb Meir, Mumad Dover Echad is Dina Kakum, then you don't need Befarhesia. Could be that Mumad Dover Echad you still need a few times. That means you need 5-10 times. That they don't discuss that. How many times does Reb Meir require? They just say the Farhesia does. Farhesia only fits in if you're talking about Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. Okay, so that the first thesis is important. You got to look in Shulchan Aruch exactly how many times the person has to be Mechal Shabbos. At what point do we label him as a Mum Mechal Shabbos Dinikak? It's probably not relevant today. We mentioned that Binyan Sion has a tshuva and the Chazon Ish writes the same, that today you can't call someone a Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. B'Farhesia means he's breaking the discipline in the community. So today, the majority of the Jews and most of the communities are not Shomer Mitzvahs. How can you say it's before Hesiod?
Don't they Shomer Mitzvahs? But how many times a person has to be Mechal Shabbos so you can't even sign them for the air?
You can't. I don't know. I don't know if that's the same. I don't think that's based on the din of Mechal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum. That's a different din. If the Erev is, you make an Eruv B'Chatzeres that everyone should be allowed to carry in the building or in the community. So if to him he's going to carry Ben Kovakol, so the whole Erev B'Chatzeres is irrelevant. So that's what the Rambam says over here. The Rambam says, let's say you want to be mitzarif a person to a minyan. This guy doesn't believe in davening. He never davens. So the Rambam says, the whole davening has no shaychus to him. So it doesn't help that you have 9 people davening and you have the 10th guy who doesn't believe in davening. He never davens. The davening is irrelevant. So the Erev also, the Rambam says, he's going to carry with or without an Erev. If the fellow's Meshama Shabbata Bashuk, he won't, like in my building, there's a person who was a student yeshiva 25 years ago, and now he's not observant anymore, but he won't carry in front of me. If I'm there, he won't take the keys out of his pocket. He'll walk around the whole block and come back again. Sometimes when years ago, we didn't have a key outside. Now there's a key in front of my building, so whoever knows the combination can get into the building on Shabbos. But years ago, we didn't have a key, so I would come home a lot of times from the yeshiva on a Friday night at 12 o'clock, at 12:30, and this fellow would come home. He had the key in his pocket. He wouldn't open the door. He was embarrassed that I should see that he's Mechal Shabbos. So he would walk around the whole block. Walk around the whole block takes over 5 minutes. It's a gigantic block. He would come back 10 minutes later, and we're still waiting. He would wait. He would go around another walk. So the Erev Chatzeres was relevant for him. If there's an Erev in the community now, so now he's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos by carrying, because he's not embarrassed for me. So the Rambam is that's not really because Dina Ka'akum. That's because if he has no Shaychis, ain't about the Erev. The Erev doesn't mean anything to him. So that's why it's no good. This Gemara is a different din on Daf Hei.
But even the amount of time for a person asking Mechal Shabbos, that included in the air, like that, the same amount of times would be the same, yeah?
I'm not sure. L'chor, it should not necessarily be the same. Here you're labeling the fellow, Mechal Shabbos Dina Ka'akum. There you don't really have to label him as anything. Just say, has no shaychus with the Erev. Shouldn't necessarily be the same. Okay, so again, so on the first the Gemara thought that you're not allowed to eat the Sheikh of the Shabbos. You're not allowed. Rab said you're not allowed to eat the behema on Shabbos. You can only begin to eat it on Matzoy Shabbos. Fine. So then the Gemara says that the Bnei HaYeshiva said it's only according to Rebbe Yudah. Which Rebbe Yudah? Hey, Rebbe Yudah. So the first they thought, famous Machlokes, Rebbe Yudah, Rebbe Shimon, where they hold from Muktzah or not. So they quoted the Mishnah. So what's the issue of Mechatchan Sadluin? So we read the last two lines in the Tosis Mechatchan. Tosis says, they quote, it's a Machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, the market is lay. And Shabbos Kuf Nun Hey Machlokes, when is it permissible to be Mechatchan Sadluin? Is it only because the animal, the behemoth, can't eat? The dluin are too big. So, but if the dluin, the behemoth can eat, the koshi, behemoth can eat the dluin. Well, you want to make it easier for the behemoth, that's not proper. Then we wouldn't allow him to be mechatech the dluin because it's a tircha shelo l'tzarech. Or do you say the reverse? If the behemoth, if the dluin are too big for the animal to eat, then you don't allow him to cut the dluin because that's mesaken oichel. That's like our precious trumas and maisim. You make it possible for the animal to eat it. That's an iser. Just like on the level of the raisa, there's an iser misakin mona. Mona is a kli. It is an iser and misakin oil. So Tosis quotes the machlokes. Fine. Okay. But then Tosis raises a question. What happened? Where did these deluin come from? They were detached from the ground from Erev Shabbos, or they were detached on Shabbos? Because the next line in the Mishnah says, "Vesanadeleth ne'aklovim, b'yudam amlohesan abedam Erev Shabbos asur v'sheinim ben amuchot." So it's machleg stanakame Reb Yudah. What if the behemoth was nisnabla b'Shabbos? Reb Yudah holds if nisnabla b'Shabbos, then it's muktzah. And Tanakama says it's not muktzah. So the Tanakhama says, Nevelef, Nakalab, Mafilin, Nisnabla, B'Shabbos. So maybe the Dluin, by parallel, maybe the Dluin also means the Dluin would detach from the ground on Shabbos. So Tosis has two Pshotim. So the last two lines in Tosis say, Oh, Yishla Farsh Darit, B'nit Pusham, the Arab Shabbos. There's no issue of Mokhtse at all on the Dluin. It's an issue of Tircha Shalot Tzorach, or an issue of Mesakan Mana Bayachim. But the first Pshot in Tosis they gave was no. That just like the Tanakhama says, "V'chatanas ha'advei l'lefnei aklov mishen isnabla b'Shabbos." That's exactly the Nekuda. The Rebbe Yudah disagrees with the Tanakhama. So the Dluin also goes shenechtechu b'Shabbos, and that's not an issue of mukta. Is that an issue of mukta? The Dluin shenechtechu min amchube b'Shabbos. Is that an issue of mukta? So Tosis, that's the beginning of the Tosis. Omer Rabbeinu Tam de Mari. Even in the case kishenitlesh ben amchube b'Shabbos, parallel to nevelush and snabla b'Shabbos. So isn't there an issue? Isn't that a shaila? All right, mechatchen. But isn't there a shaila of muktza over here? So isn't there some kind of an issue? So Tosis says there are two issues, and you have to resolve the both issues. So one issue they say is peris anoshrim. On the first daf and beitza, Peris Anoshim is really a Gemara, a Mishnah Psachim. Peris that fell off from the tree. So the Gemara says, Peris Anoshim me'aleihem, fruits fell down, similar to Mashkin Shezovu. So Peris Anoshim, the Gemara in the first daf in beitza holds that they're two separate Gzeras. Peris Anoshim is one Gzera, Mashkin Shezovu was another Gzera, and there are four explanations. We started to talk yesterday. The four explanations in the Gemara there in Beitza. Why did Beis Hillel say Beitza shenol da biyontif lo teyocha? Why are you not allowed to eat it? So one explanation in the Gemara was that it falls under the category of peris anoshrin, and one says it falls under the gzera of mashkan shezavu. They're both obviously assuming that these are two separate gzeras, and they're arguing which of the two gzeras does the Beitza shenol da fall under. The other doesn't fall under either. It's not a Peris HaNoshim, it's not a Mashkin Shezov. Must be a different explanation. But the Gemara clearly is assuming the first daf in Beitza that the two separate Gzeres. There's a Mochamas later in Beitza on the daf that Tosis quotes of the Tosafot quotes Beitza Daf Chav Dalet of Chacham Shehebi Doron Yisrael Miyesh Miyosu Amin B'Mechuber. So there, the Machamas has a suggestion. A Mechudish did a suggestion that Peres Anoshim Mashkan Shazavu is one big Zera, and the one big Zera is whenever Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho, you're not allowed to get Hanoa from it. Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho. To squeeze out the juice from a pri is the Malach of the Farak told the Dosh. To pluck off the fruits from the tree, Peres Anoshim, if you do it be a dime, it'll be an Isra of Kotzer. So whenever Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho, you're not allowed to get Hanoa from it. If you have a Nochri, Shas Malach of Bishvil Nochri, then it's Mutta. If someone did the Malacha B'Kavana on purpose, and Nochri does it Bishvil Nochri, so then you're allowed to get Hanoa. But if the Malacha was either done Bishvil Yisrael, or Malacha Shanasis Me'eleho happened by itself, so it wasn't Bishvil Nochri, so that's Osir Bayul Alamates Malachas. Tosis here doesn't like that. Tosis says they only made exempt. They're saying like the first daf in Beitza. Peres Anoshim is bikal. You can easily lift up your hand and pull off the apple from the tree. Mashkan Shazavu, it's a dover kal to squeeze it. But anything else that happened, Amalocha Shanasis Me'ilah, and it's not a dover kal, so Tosis thinks that there shouldn't be a gzera derabim. It's not one general gzera. Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho Zoser. The only time it'll be muta is if Enoch Hashanasis Malach Bishvil Nochri. That's a matir. That's a shala. Let's say if you say whenever Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho, you say it's always Zoser. So what if I set a Shabbos clock and the light goes on Shabbos morning? So you're not allowed to be nana from the Ora Ner. If the Goyishin maid would turn on the lights for me on Shabbos, so then Nochri Shas Malach B'Shvil Yisrael, also Lihonis Menu, that we know. But here the lights went on by them, and if the Goy would turn on the lights for himself, then I am permitted, and the lights are on, I am permitted to read Li'oran there. But if the lights go on by themselves, so according to that Melchames, a new din, Malach Shanasis Me'eleho, the Jew is not allowed to get Hano. The only time it's Mutter is if Nochri Asa Malacha Bishvil Nochri, that's a matir. But Malach Shanas Me'eleho is one big Zera, Mashkan Shazavu, Peres Anoshim. There's such a Ramban. Would you consider that? I set up the Shabbos clock and the lights go on Shabbos by themselves. You consider that Malach Shanas Me'eleho? Or maybe we should say, not Malach Shanas Me'eleho, I set the clock. So I did the malacha on Erev Shabbos. Maybe if it would be considered malacha shenasas me'eleho, I wouldn't be allowed to get hanoah according to that Ramban. Ramban holds that the sugya and daf chav dalet doesn't agree with the sugya and daf beis and daf gimel and beis. The beis and gimel, the Gemara clearly assumes that these are two independent gzeiras. Mashkan shazavu, one gzeira, peres anoshim, another gzeira. And the Amoraim are arguing, does it make sense to say that Beit Shenolda falls under A or B or neither? Pashtus is neither. But there are some Amoraim hold not. Bishil hold Loi Teyachel because it's part of the Gzera Mashkan Shazav, and one holds part of the Gzera Peres Anosh. But according to the Ramban later on Daf Chav Dalet, it's one big Gzera Mashkan Shazav, Peres Anosh, any Malacha Shenas is made up. So that's the question. I set a Shabbos clock on Friday, and the light goes on Shabbos morning. So you say that's Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho. That did not Me'eleho. I did the Malach on Erev Shabbos. So that's Mutta. If you turn on the light on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to get on there. Pashto says that it's not called Malach Hashanasis Me'eleho. I set it up. And I set it up on Erev Shabbos. That was the Muki Yosef from Baba Kama has that famous kasha. That there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yechon HaReish Lakish, in the second parak of Baba Kama, where the Isha Mishum Chitzov, or Isha Mishum Amono. So we passing like Rabbi Yechonon, Isha Mishum Chitzov. It's considered, if I'm negligent and the fire goes and makes a hesek, it's considered Adam HaMazik. Isha Mishum Chitzov is if he shot a chetz, as if he shot an arrow and has the dinam like Adam HaMazik. It's going to be rare. Everybody holds that there's a case of Eish, that it's Mishum Amona, Eish is Potter Antomon. Adam HaMazik is not Potter Antomon. Everyone agrees that there is a case that Eish is only chayim mishum mamonim. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that most of the time Eish will be not only mamonim, will be chitzov. There won't be a ptur of tamon because adam amazik is adam udli adam is chayiv on tamon. So the Mukhi Yosef is bothered with Akash. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan that most of the time Eish mishum chitzov it's adam. So how can a person light candles on Erev Shabbos and they continue to burn into Shabbos? He should say, Isha Mishum Chitzav is considered as if he's continuing to do the Havara on Shabbos. It's considered as if he's continuing to do the Havara on Shabbos. That's the Nemuki Yosef's Kasha. So the Achronim all give one Teretz, the Nemuki Yosef gives a different Teretz. The Achronim all give a Teretz, then Hasivus and many others give a Teretz, that on Shabbos he can't be a violation of Malacha if you're acting B'Shei Galtas. Malacha has to be a Maisa Malacha. You have to have a Kumbia say. So if the woman benches licht on Erev Shabbos and the candles continue to burn into Shabbos, she's totally passive on Shabbos. There's no Kumbia say at all. So that Ishim Shem Chitza, fine, but there's no Maisa Malacha, so it's not a problem. That's what the Achreinim answer. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, the Kasha. And he used to say, Ziftan Muki Yosef gives that answer. But Yosef didn't give that answer. That's the Achronim give that answer. And then the Muki Yosef gives a different answer. He says, when you say, correct, you say, Isha Mishim Chitza. When the woman benches licht on Erev Shabbos, it's considered as if, and the neir is burned for 5 hours, and it goes out to 1 o'clock at night, it's considered as if she did the whole hadloke on Erev Shabbos. As if she burnt all the wax, so she consumed all the wax or all the oil in the cup on Erev Shabbos. Isha Mishim Chitzel is considered as if the person did it from the beginning, not as if the person is continuing to do it now. The whole pu'ula is attributed to the Tchilos HaPu'ula that they did. So the Mekayesu gives you an afkemina ledina, he writes a chiddush, and the Rambam quotes it, La'aloch en choshem mishpot. Let's say a person is an arson, And he makes a fire in a village. It burns down the whole village. Billions of dollars of hefsid mum. Burns down the whole village. But he got a heart attack 5 minutes after he made the fire. So Kozman, he was alive, it made $100,000 worth of hefsid. The first 5 minutes, it made $100,000 worth of hefsid. And then after he got his heart attack and he drops dead, then it makes another $1 billion worth of hefsid. So the Mekiyesa says he was Nischayev in the Hezek while he was alive. So even though now he's dead, you can collect from the Yorshim. You can collect from the estate. He left over Yerusha. You can collect. So the Mekiyesa has a Chiddush. Not only can you collect the $100,000 of a Hefsid Mamon that occurred before his heart attack, even the $1 billion worth of Hefsid that happened after he was dead already. How can you say a dead man is chayiv on mishumar ma'amazik? No, since he started the whole fire now and it continues to burn for hours and hours, we consider the whole hezek that occurs in the next 24 hours, it burns and burns for 24 hours, you consider as if he did everything from the very outset, from the very beginning, as if everything was contained in the initial act that he did, the initial act of arson. He was nischayiv in the billions of dollars worth of hefsid before he died. Even though the Hezek didn't happen yet, it happens later, considered as if he did it before, just like all the on Erev Shabbos, the woman benches licht, is considered as if she burnt the whole candle on Erev Shabbos. So the Pashto says, if you say like that, the Muki Yosef. So the Ramah quotes that la'alocha. The Ramah paskens like that, the Muki Yosef. A person made a fire, and he gets a heart attack, and he dies, and then the Hezek continues to make, the Hezek continues after he dies. So you can collect from his estate the whole hezek, even the hezek that occurred after he died, because we consider it as if he did everything from the very outset. Yes, if you say like that, the Muki Yosef, the Tzoris HaChoshen, is not happy. Why the Ramah quoted that the Muki Yosef, he thinks that we shouldn't pass him like that. He thinks that Tosis in Bava Kamma doesn't agree with the Muki Yosef, and he thinks that the accepted psak is like Tosis. That's the Shabbos. Let's say if I set the Shabbos clock and the lights go on Shabbos morning at 10:30, that's called Malacha Shenases Meila. It didn't happen Meila. I did it. I did the whole thing on Friday. That's Yisrael Shas Malacha Be'erev Shabbos. It's like I lit a candle and it continues to burn. So that I'm allowed to get Hanoi. That's a question. That's a question. Anyway, there's such a Ramban on Chav Dalet in the Mochamas on Beitzah. He says when you get to the Sugya of Chav Dalet, the assumption is, he explains the Gemara. He says, they're not two separate Gzeris. Beitzah, Mashkin Shezov and Peres Anoshim is one general Gzera, Malacha Shanasas Me'elah, also Lehonis Mimenot. The only exception to the rule is Malacha Shanasas Bishvil Nochri. If a goy does the malacha for a goy, then it's mutter. I told over this story about Rabbi Herzog. We once visited by a Mizrahi leader in Montreal. So he was telling us his story. His father was a Mizrahi leader, and Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi, and when he visited Montreal, so he stayed by his father. So his father was showing Rabbi Herzog. He had a very good library, very nice library. So it was hard to see. It was in the daytime, Shabbos in the daytime. But the library, the room where all the Svarim were, was a little dark. So Rabbi Herzog couldn't, he was showing off all the different Svarim that he has. It's hard to see. So he took the Svarim to the window. It was still hard to see. There wasn't enough light. So they had a non-Jewish maid. So the maid turned on the light. She came into the room, she turned on the light. So Rabbi Herzog walked out of the room. So the maid asked afterwards, what did I do? She always turns on the lights on Shabbos for the Balabatim. So the father tells her, strictly speaking, if you turn on the lights for us, we're not allowed to get Hanoi. If you were to turn on the lights for yourself, then we can sit and read. But if you turn that on for us, we're not allowed to get Hanoi. So time goes by. Rabbi Herzog passed away. And then Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi. Rabbi Unterman was in between. But then Rabbi Gorin is the chief rabbi. So and the father passed away, and the son yarshin the whole library, and he yarshin the maid. So Rabbi Gorin is visiting by the son. So the son is showing Rabbi Gorin, I have this library. And he can't see, because it's dark. Takes the swarm to the window, it's dark outside, can't see. So the maid comes into the room, and she turns on the light. And there used to be a big magazine, so big, Life. There used to be two, Life and Look magazine, gigantic. So she sits down on the couch and she starts reading the magazine. So Rabbi Gorin keeps on looking at the Svar. And then the maid, after 5 minutes, tiptoes out of the room. So the Balabas tell me, so Rabbi Gorin asks, what's going on over here? Why did she sit down only for 5 minutes? So he tells him the story, what happened? That when Rabbi Herzog visited by my father, and the same maid turned on the light. So Rabbi Herzog walked out of the room. Not allowed to get on us. So my father explained, if you turn on the light for yourself, then we're allowed to get on us. And now she knows, whenever we need the light. So she turns on the light and she reads something, and then she tiptoes out. So I was once going to speak in one of the shuls, and I asked this on Shabbos. I remember it was Parshas Noach. So I asked the students, what musa should I give the Balabatim? I don't know the people in the shul. What musa do they need? So one of the boys says right away, Amir Liakum. They're all wealthy Balabatim and they all have Goyshin maids, and the maids do all the malach. And I said, okay. So I gave a whole drasha on Parshas Noach. Then at the end, I smuggled in. I didn't know I'm bapping over the head. At the end, I smuggled in about Amir Liakum. So I told over the whole story. And that they should understand they're not allowed to do Amir Lachmas. So after Musaf, one of the people walks over to me and he says, the maid just died last week. He's a member of that family. He told me the maid's name. I forgot already. He said, that maid just died last week. Yeah. so that's a shot. Let's say I set the Shabbos clock on Friday that the light should go on Shabbos morning at 10:30. The light's going to go on at 10:30. Is that called Malacha Shenasis Me'lo? Probably not. That's Mistama called Malacha Shenasis Ha'idei Yisrael, the Erev Shabbos. So that's Mutar Lihanes, even if you hold like the Ramban, who holds that the Sugya and Daf Chav Dalet understood that it's one big Zera. Any Malacha Shenasis Me'lo, you're not allowed to get Hano, only if Malacha Shenasis Bishvil Nochri, then you're allowed to get Hano. Even if you say it like that, but this is probably not called Malacha Shenasis Me'lo. The lights go on. whoever set the Shabbos clock on Erev Shabbos caused the lights to go on. That's a Malach Shanas, it's by Erev Shabbos. Probably Mutter. Probably, that's not called Malach Shanas Meilam. Anyway, but Tosis here is assuming that they're two separate Gzeiris. Tosis is assuming like the first Daf and Beitza, that Beis Daf Gimel, there's a Gzeira Mashkin Shazavu and a Gzeira Peres HaNoishrim. And you don't make a Gzeira every case of Malach Shanas is Meilam. You only make a Gzeira these two cases because it's Bekal. That's what Tosis has on the base, Moide Reb Yudah, and that's what they write in Amud Aleph and Mechatchan also. It's not a general universal Gzeira. Any Malach Shanas is Meilam. Separate Gzeira by Mashkin Shazav and a separate Gzeira by Peres HaNoishrim.
In the case with the Shabbos clock, don't we still have like a chashal come to do it?
In the case of what?
With the Shabbos clock.
Shabbos
clock,
yeah. Don't we? Doesn't the same chashal apply that he may come to do it by himself on Shabbos? You're allowed to have it offered. What if you light a candle on Erev Shabbos and it burns into Shabbos? So you're afraid that he's going to do a malocha? You're not afraid. Why should you be afraid over here? I said to Shabbos, I don't need the clock, I don't need the lights on all night long. People are going to sleep. So I have the lights, I set up the system, the light's gone. I don't know. Pashta says they never made exer. Tosfos says, oh, they only made exer. Mashkin Shlezov and Peres HaNoishrim. Even according to the Ramban, that it is a universal exera. That's Malach HaShanas Melech B'Shabbos. If the Paris fell down from the tree on Shabbos, here is a Malach HaShanas, the Erev Shabbos. I think so. So the Tosfos holds that there are two issues you have to consider by the Dluin, Shenitlishu B'Shabbos. So one is Gzer Shem Yachtoch, Shem Yala V'Yitlosh. Is there a concern Shem Yala V'Yitlosh? So Tosfos says, Tosfos holds he only made the gzera because it's kal nachamon. Like a mechash namishem a yitlosh the peres yidin shem kalim lahashir. Olo dodo misav lahem v'shachech will forget. Chem mashkin shezavu shem a yischot shekal yischot. Havo b'dov the boy more of a chatzina. Like over here mechatchen deluin to detach it from the ground is a major enterprise. You have to spend time. So till he's going to do the malacha, he'll remember. You take an orange and you squeeze out the juice, then you're going to be allowed. Oi, what did I do? It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. You pluck off an apple, 1, 2, 3, pluck off the apple. But over here, it's a whole production. To cut off the diluent from the ground is going to take a long time. So they never made the gzera. That's what it's saying on the base also. The Shabbos, you're going to make a gzera. Shema yishchot. Shchita is a major production. So Tosfos holds like the first sugya in Beitza. They don't agree with that Ramban. That it's that once you get to Dab Chavdalet, it's one big zera. Any malacha shenas melech. Okay. And then Tosfos says there's another issue. What's the other issue? An issue of mukta. What's the story with mukta? So they say in the third line in the Tosfos, because they say in the second line they say, the two issues that you have to consider. Unless I do in Loimishum number one, Namishum number two. Number one is Loimishum Shami Alabi Yitlosh, that's Peres HaNoishrim, Mashkin Shazavu. They say it takes a long time to cut the Diluin. So that's, they never made it there. Loimishum the Lebeki Gurgis for Tzimukim, that's a new reason that it's Mukta. So the trade time of Ikolas, the two independent reasons, the Asadav Anilkat Menamachubi B'Shabbos. One is Gzeri Shemayala Shemayiskot, Shemayala V'Yitlosh, that doesn't apply by Diluin, because it's Boi Morav Chatzina, takes a long time. And the second consideration is anything that's Mechubel Karka is Dina Kimukta. Where'd they get that from? Why is Dina Kimukta? How do they know? They quote a Gemara Beitzel Chavdalet, Ov Gechovim Shehevi Doran LeYisrael, where it says Dav Chavdalet on the base. It's Beitzel Dav Chavdalet on the base. A Nocher brings Doran Yisrael, fruits or vegetables, and we don't know, maybe he plucked it off on the ground on Yontem. Yesh Meiros HaNidim and Mechuber in that area. If it only grows in Turkey, he brings me Turkish figs. He didn't cut it off He cut off the Turkish fix today. We live in New York. Must have been cut off a month ago. And it was shipped to New York. No chashash, it was plucked off on Yontif. But if he brings me apples or pears, I don't know, they're growing in the neighborhood, so maybe he plucked it off today. So Rashi says in that Gemara, Pirish Bekuntris, Rashi says over there, that even though there's Machlekes, Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon, Hilchas Muktzah, Reb Shimon is the big mako, even Reb Shimon would agree that Grogus or Tzimukim is Muktzah. In this case, whatever is Mechuba Lekarka, if the Goy gave me a gift on Yontif of fruits or vegetables, that he may have plucked it off on Yontif, so then we aser, because it may be Muktzah. I had hold in a Muktzah zoning with the Rabbanon, so why not say Safik the Rabbanon Lekula? So the Gemara says, you don't apply Safik the Rabbanon Lekula to Dovah Sheish Lamatirin. You can wait till after Havdalah, then you can eat, no problem. You say Safik the Rabbanon Lekula if you have an Issa the Rabbanon, that's going to be Ein Lo Heter. But over here, wait till he came. The guy came to my home at 1 o'clock on Yontif in the afternoon, and he gives me a gift of fruits and vegetables, which he may or may not have plucked off in the ground on Yontif. If he plucked it off on Yontif, then Rashi says it's Muktzah, like Grogus with Tzimukim. We'll have to discuss that in a minute. So if it's a Sofik, if he plucked it off or not, so Sofik, the Rabbanon should have been the Kula, but because Dabash HaShmatir, wait till after Abdullah, it'll be Muta, so then you have no right to say Sofik, the Rabbanon, the Kula. What is Grogus with Tzimukim all about? So that's the Gemara in Beitza, that's the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, if you have grapes and you put them on the rooftop that the sun should beat down and they should turn into raisins. Simukim. Or you have grogros, you have figs. So people eat figs and people eat dried out figs. People eat raisins and people eat grapes. But when it's an in-between stage, you put it on the roof and you have to leave it, let's say, for 72 hours that the sun should beat down and turn it into grogros to simukim. So if it's only after a day and a half, so the Gemara says some people will not enjoy it. It's ikin shidakle, ikin shidaloachle. Some people will like it, some people will not. So it's considered a borderline food. So if you have any food that you have around the house is not considered muktzah, because it's an omder in the muchav that they reserve the right to eat all the food in the house. It's considered as if there was hachanas abadim on everything. But if you have grogus with tzimukim, that's a borderline food. Some people would eat it, some people would not eat it. So then, if you are masbinit in advance, you make a declaration before Yontif, before Shabbos begins, you reserve the right to eat it on Shabbos, then you're declaring that it's not muktzah, you're declaring that it is zeichon. So grogus at simukim is an example of a muktzah that even Reb Shimon agrees to. Reb Shimon agrees to eitz mabon of yofa is also muktzah. Whatever doesn't fall into the four categories, or the mekelim, ochel, mamashkim, that's the Gemara on Shabbos, the dinim of muktzah is exerish hamayotzi. So why don't they prohibit picking up any sefer, picking up a chair, a fork, a knife, clothing, pajamas? The answer is, the Gemara says it would make life impossible on Shabbos. That would be exerit. They really should have asked for handling anything. A chashashi may carry it into the street, mishum haitzo. But that's unreasonable. Then you can't function. Exerish hamayotzi b'chodem lamed boy. So the four categories have things that are makabel tum, and those have chashivas. So they never made exer, those are not muktzah. Whatever is eitz ma'bon of yofa, junk, you don't need it anyway, so you can live without it. So they said, don't handle it at all. If you're going to handle it, you may forget and carry it into the street. You should have made exer by everything also, but then it would be impossible to live. So grogus for tzimukim, since ikin shidaloy achli, some people do not enjoy eating it in the intermediate state, meat, that's not roi l'achila. So grogus and tzimukim is an example of muktzah machmas atzman, muktzah machmas gufoy, like eitz ma'bon of yofar. It's considered real muktzah. So Rashi writes there that just like Reb Shimon is moida all the time, even Reb Shimon the Mekel in Hilchas Muktzah is moida to Reb Yudah by grogus with tzimukim, that it's muktzah. So too Reb Shimon would agree that whatever was mechuba l'karka on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to be tolish min hakarka, even on Yontif. When there's a heter ochel nefesh, but the heter doesn't apply. Now let her pluck off fruits from the tree on Yontif. Tosis has a whole discussion. Why not? Why are you not allowed to, you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif? Ain't sodim sadogin min abibin b'yontif is the name of the perik. Ain't sodim. Why are you not allowed to go fishing on Yontif? The ochel nefesh. Why are you not allowed to squeeze that orange juice on Yontif? Why not? Should be ochel nefesh. So Tosfos breaks the head to figure out why. Why is it the not muta mitam milchanevish? But it's not muta. You're not allowed to pluck off fruits. So Rashi there says a pirish bekuntres. Tosfos is quoting a Rashi that if the nochri brings me fruits or vegetables in the middle of yontav yesh ba'asamim b'mechuber, in the area there, these fruits and vegetables grow on the tree. Could be that the goy plucked it off on yontav. Then it's mukzi. You're not allowed to handle it. Whatever's mechuber lekarka doesn't have a shem oichel. Why not? Where do you get that from? That whatever's mechuber lekarka is not called an oichel. That's the din. It's not mekabel tumah. Fruits and vegetables are not mekabel tumah. They're not mekabel hechsher either. When it rains on the apples are still attached to the tree. So the din is you need kiyuta mayim al zera, either yitin or yutan. So let's say mayitin the nichle af yutan the nichle. If I have a bushel of apples and I'm happy that it's raining, the apples are getting cleaned off, then the apples become buchshel kabel tuma. But if I have a tree full of apples that are attached to the tree and I'm very happy that the apples are getting washed off, so I'll be able to pluck them off and eat it. The din is, it's not called oichel, it's not mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel hechsher. When the oichel man b'chuba lekarkas doesn't have a shem oichel yet. So Rashi holds that just like it doesn't have a shem oichel for kabbalah's tumah purposes, it doesn't have a shem oichel for mukta purposes either. So then when the goy plucks it off on yontif, then it's noila, just came into existence and oichel. In the middle of Yantar, calls Manitz Mechuber, it's considered like a tree. It's not considered Eichel. And only those four categories of things, Eichel, Odom, Ekelim, Eichel, Mamashkim, those four things are not considered Mukta. So the Eichel that's still Mechuber Lekarka is not Mekabel Tumah. The Dinim of Mukta are not 100% identical with the Dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah. We mentioned, Odom is Mekabel Tumah, only Israel. Anochri is not Mekabel Tumah, but Anochri is not Mukta. Kalim, they're a clay. Adoma clay, Avonim clay, Gololim are not mekabel tumah, but they're a clay. So it's, even though it's not mekabel tumah, but it is a clay. It's a clay that's not mekabel tumah. So it's not considered mukta. Ochel memashkim also, only Michael Odom is mekabel tumah. Michael Behema, bundle of hay, is not mekabel tumah, but Michael Behema is not considered mukta. So the dinim of mukta were patterned, called the dikon rabbanon, came there, I said dikon. Dinim of Mukta were patterned after the Dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah, but it's not identical. It's roughly patterned after. So this, Rashi holds, just like Peres that in Mechuba the Karka, not Mekabal Tumah, means that it's not called Eichel. So this detail we do carry over. Just like it's not called Eichel, and therefore it's not Mekabal Tumah, it's not Mekabal Hechsher. So it carries over to Mukta, it's not called Eichel. And then in the middle of Shabbos, when the Diluin become detached, so that's Noilat. We treat it like a Noilat. So what does Tosfos say? What do I mean in a pair called Kisve and Shabbos Kuf Chabes? Lo yamid on a behem tal gabi mukze. How does Tosfos says, the chay nira, the line begins with the word nira. The chay nira, they're approving of Pirish Rashi. They're giving Rashi Yashikoyach. Rashi says that the reason why, if the Nochri brings me a gift, I'm not allowed to handle it, is because it's Sofik Mukze, Tom Shesh Matirin. So you say Sofik Darabon Luchumer. Why is it Mukze? So it's like Rogus with Simukman. They say V'chein Nira. They think Rashi's Pshad is correct. That the reason why you're not allowed to handle is because of Mukta. One could have said it's because you're not allowed to be Nana from Malechas Hagoy. They don't say that. They say it's because of Mukta. How do they know? The Besof in Mukha and Ari Kula Shmaitza, that whole Sugi, but the Gemara talks about Obikacham Shehebi Doran the Yisrael, Neish Meos Amim Abchuba Osir, the Gemara relates it to the topic of Sofik Mukha and Sofik Mukta, that Mukta is a Dov Shesh Matirin. So you go to Chumra on Sofik Mukta. Usually Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula, Sofik Dosh HaShematirin, you go to Chumra. So the whole Gemara is mashma, that the Nochri Shehebi Doron, it's a Sofik Mukta. So that's where Rashi got it from. The reason why it's also because Peres and B'chuba to the ground are considered like Mukta. Rashi didn't learn because Nochri Shasa Malocha. Because Gemara is talking about Sofik Mukha there. So from the context of the Gemara, you see that Rashi Pshat is correct. So Tosis is bothered with the question. If you're going to learn Mechatchan HaSadlu in Amir Rabbi Natan Mari Kishanit Lushu in Amachuber Bishabis, so shouldn't it be Mukta? All right, you don't have Exerishem Yala Bitlush because it's a major production. The pull off an apple to eat it is Bikal, the person will forget. To squeeze out the juice, Bikal will forget. But to detach the Luin from the ground, that's not Bikal, that's Boy Morav Chatzina. It's going to be a major production. So that concern doesn't apply to Deluin. But why shouldn't the other concern apply? The Deluin were attached to the ground in the beginning of Shabbos, according to this Rabbi Natam in the first line of Tosis. Amar Rabbi Natam the Ma'akish in the Teshmar Amchubet b'Shabbos. So let it be Muktzah. So Tosis says, sometimes it's not Muktzah. So the answer, B'Ari Hacha, the case in the Mishnah, B'chatchanaz Adluin Shenitlushu b'Shabbos, it's not Muktzah Kigon, Sheesh la behema, the havi muchan la behema, afilu be mechubar. Are you permitted to allow your animal to graze from the field on Shabbos? There's a malacha of shvisas behemtoi. You're not allowed to have your animal do a malacha for you. So how can you let the animal graze? The animal's doing kotzer. He's cutting off the grass on the mechubar. So the din is that that's muta. Tosis in Shabbos quotes a mechilta that's muta. Shvisa Bemta means you're not allowed to put heavy packages on the behemoth to make it carry. Or to make the behemoth do other malochas that it doesn't want to do. But nibbling on the grass, that the behemoth enjoys doing that. So it's a little, the definition of Shvisa Bemta has to do with the Lamatas Havas Malochas. But you don't say it doesn't apply to all the Lamatas Malochas. To prevent the animal from nibbling the grass from the ground is not included in the din of Shvisa Bemta. The Tosis says, Hocha Mairi, the Airi Hocha here, this Mishnah, Mechatchan HaSadluin, obviously is not Mukta either, why not? Kigon Sheesh La Behema, he has an animal, and the animal, you are permitted to allow the animal to graze, to be toilish. So therefore it has a shame, Michael Behema, even though it's attached to the ground, because it's Mutta to let the animal nibble. Aye, but there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says, well, the Amen Per called Kisvei, you're not allowed to have your animal eat a bundle of muktzah. What is muktzah about it? Pirish assumption it b'Shabbos. So why should it be muktzah? But assumption that the animal is allowed to nibble the mechubel karka. So therefore, if I have an animal, I have a field, and I have grass, I have hay growing from the ground. So that is my behemah. So why is that muktzah? He says layamaran behemto agabi. Muktzah b'Shabbos because of a chashash he may forget in the handle of muktzah. You want to feed the animal, so you get the animal to come close to the bundle of hay that was detached from the ground on Shabbos, and we're afraid you shouldn't do that. We're afraid that you may forget and you may handle the hay. If the hay would have been detached from the ground before Shabbos, so it's not muktzah. My behem is not muktzah, but if it was nitlash min akarka b'Shabbos, so then the hay is muktzah. So Tosfos says, why is it muktzah? We just said Ari Hacha, Kigon Sheish La Behema, and it's Mukha La Behema, because Behema is allowed to nibble. So why is over there? The Yamaran Behem Togabi Muktzah, what's wrong? Asam Shinit Lam Shabbos. Why is it Muktzah? We just said here, the Behema can nibble, it's not Muktzah. And for Taisvis, Apirish Rashi explains over there in Shabbos, Gan Shahoyu Omdim Bechibura Mimokim Shaloh, Hoysa Behema Chodah Lava L'Sham. The behema was on one side of the river, and the asavim on the other side of the river, and there is no bridge. You can't bring the behema over. So somehow on Shabbos, somehow someone, a goy, detached the grass, and he transported it to the other side of the river, and I'm going to encourage my behema to nibble that hay. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to, because you may forget, and you'll handle the hay yourself to feed the behema. If you have hay that was detached from the ground on the Erev Shabbos, Michael Behema is not Muktzah, but here it was detached on Shabbos. And it was in a location where the Behema was not able to reach there. It was on the other side of the river. That's what they called Rashi. And for Tosfos, why is it Muktzah? The Behema can eat it. Pirish B'kuntras Hasam, Rashi explains, Gan Shoyom, Dim B'chiburam, the hay was attached to the ground of Mokum Shaloh, Isai Behema Chol Avol Hashem. It was in a different location. So how did it get here? A guy cut it off and he brought it over here. So then I'm not allowed to stand there and have the animal eat it because it was there. I may forget and hand it to the animal myself. So that's what they say. There are two concerns. There's the one concern, Shem Yala Be'itla, Shem Yischot, so they think that doesn't apply here. They never made the Gzeira over here. The Gzeira was only made when on those two cases, that's all. Mashkin Shizot and Peres Anoshim, because Bikal, it's very easy to do it. And it does make sense to make, Tosfos says, at the end, it does make sense to make Gzeira by Be'im Shinishchato B'Shabbos, Gzeira Shem Yischot. Lishchot is a major production. Just because it's Gzeira Shema Yischot to squeeze out the peris, you should make Gzeira Shema Yischot to squeeze out the peris is 1, 2, 3. Lishchot is a major production. You shouldn't make Gzeira. So Tosfos gets stuck with that. So that's why the Ramban, we discussed here, the Ramban had a whole different shot in the Gemara. Not that the Gzeira Shema Yischot. The Ramban probably didn't have that girsa. He had a whole different shot. It's a whole discussion of Buchla Difras. Tosfos gets stuck with that. Tosha gives a doche pshat on Amid Beis. He referred to what they're going to say on Amid Beis. Masha medama lekamon shem yishcho, shem yishcho, afarish lekamon b'yesus Hashem. It's a doche pshat. The Tosha on Amid Beis moida. So we learned all Gemara on Amid Beis, a difficult Gemara. And then yesterday, we started... El Amr Abashi, the fourth line from the top of Tezvav Amr Aleph. El Amr Abashi, they heard from the Bnei Achabura that Rab's pshat in the Mishnah. Hashech b'shabesh chitosik shera means you can eat it after Abdullah, but you can't eat it today. And they're wondering why. Why is it muktzeh? What's going on? They finally say, no, El Amr Abashi, no, because oisem alocha b'shabesh. Mavashel b'Shabbos, according to Reb Yudah, there's such a gzera. The Gemara said, why do you have to say that he shechted the animal b'shoigeg? Reb Yudah koneshog got the mezid, and Reb Meir is lo koneshog got the mezid. Say he shechted the animal b'mezid. Shechted the animal b'mezid, even Reb Meir. So it says stam mishnah like Reb Meir. The Gemara says no, because where did Rab get this whole idea in the first place? That is talking Hashecha b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos because the Mishnah puts it Dumya de Yom Kippurim. You're not allowed to eat the flesh on Yom Kippur. You can eat it after Havdalah. On Shabbos also, you can only eat it after Havdalah. So the Gemara says since it has to be Dumya de Yom Kippur, so on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat it today, whether you shechted it b'mezid or b'shegeg. So on Shabbos also, it's parallel to Yom Kippur. Rab said, Hashecha b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it ben b'shegeg, whether shachat b'shegeg or shachat b'mezid. So it must be that is according to Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah's kind of shog got the mezid. But if the stam mishnah would be like Reb Meir, which it usually is, then Reb Meir's look kind of shog got the mezid. So there wouldn't be any knas b'shegeg. So then it wouldn't be dumi the Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara explains on Tezvav HaMenal. So that's what Rab said. The mishnah means Hashecha b'Shabbos chitos and sheira. Hamatzai Shabbos, because the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yudah, the Kohen Shog got the Mezid. Join. Goes like Rabbi Yudah, the Kohen Shog got the Mezid. Fine. So then in the middle of the Amud, that's the first 20 lines. Then in the middle of Tezvav and Aleph, Gemara starts, Toni Tana Kamei De Rav. In the days of the Amoraim, Tana is like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Lozim and Azar. Those are Tanaim. They lived in the Tkuvas HaTanoim. In the days of Rav, there were no more Tanoim. So the Tana is a different kind of a Tana. Tana means one who knows how to recite brises by heart. So there was a Tana, in quotation marks, not from the days of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lozim and Azar. There was an Amboira whose practice was to recite brises by heart. Tana Tana Kamei De Rav. In the presence of Rav, someone says over the following price. That's Rav Meir's shita. That's what Rav Meir said, word for word. Umashtik Le Rav. And Rav said, "Don't say that. It's not correct." The boy wants to know what did he get so upset about. He read a brisa. He was saying over a brisa. That's word for word what Rav Meir says. Mavashal b'shabes shagiyach me'mezid lo yochel. The Rav Meir. So the Gemara doesn't understand my time of mashtikle. Why did Rab scream? Shtika. He shouldn't. The guy shouldn't say such a bar. He lema. If you'll say mishum disvira like Reb Yudah, because Rab holds that loch is like Reb Yudah. And Tani ki Reb Meir, and the brisa that the fellow recited goes like Reb Meir. So the Gemara says, Mishum Disrele ki Reb Yuda, Mad Tani ki Reb Meir, Mashtekle. Rab knows his machloikas hatanoim. So what's so wrong? Let the guy say over a brisa, they were Reb Meir. He shouldn't, it's not right. He tells him, don't say it over. Why shouldn't he say it over? The old Gemara asks, it's not even true. Misova like Reb Yuda. Does Rav really pass like Rav Yudah? It's not even true. When Rav had passed for his own Talmidim, they were learned in Yerushalayim, or Luhu, Kirab Meir. Why? Because that's really the din. Lahalacha, the din is taka like Rav Meir. But Dorish Bepirka, when he would give the public shiur, Dorish Kirab Yudah, Mishamami Hearts, because many of the people were not learned there, and you have to introduce more chumras to get them to be more observant. Sure. That was the attitude that they had. That's the machlokes. We said that's machlokes of Rishayim. We today are not on the low madrega of Rav's Balabatim, but nor are we on the high madrega of Rav's Talmidim. We're in between. So how do you paskin over here? So that's a machlokes. Rav would paskin for his Talmidim lahokil like Rav Meir. The bishogeg, there's no knas, lo konzer shogan amezer, but for the Balabatim, he would paskin lahachmer. So we're not as religiously weak as his Balabatim, but we're not as religiously strong as his Talmidim. So how do you pass him for us? So that's Machleik, Tyson, the Ramam. But Halacha Lamai said, Bizman is that, do we pass like Rav Meir? Do we pass like Rav Yudah? So the Gemara wants to know, why did Rav tell this Tana not to say over that Braisa? First, Kasha was, just because you hold like Rav Yudah, why shouldn't you let him say over a Braisa like Rav Meir? Second, Kasha was, he doesn't even hold like Rav Yudah. Because when he passed for the Talmidim, he passed like Rav Meir. He said, that taka is the din. The din is like Rav Meir. I bichi tema, all right, we'll say the Maisu Shoya was like this. This fella said over the Braise, the Tana said over the Braise at a public shir of Rav. And in public, Rav would say to the Balabatim, Halacha ki Rav Yudah, because he felt because of the Amehorot, you have to be Machma. Bichi tema, maybe you'll explain the Maisu Shoya why Rav got upset at the fellow, why he said the brice, and he told him, shtok, maybe tana bepirke tana kame. Bepirke means Rav gave the public shir, and the amehorets were there. And that's why Rav got upset. So the Gemara says, well, they have to get so upset. The Balabatim are not going to listen to this yeshiva guy who's saying over prices. Rav was the Rosh Yeshiva there, and he used to give a shir. And he didn't have a strong voice. So they always used to have ukim amor alei. They used to have someone, amor means a person knows how to, has a loud voice. So they used to have someone say over the didim in public. So Gemara says, v'chiteima, maybe the Tana said over the brice in the middle of a public shir. So Gemara says, so what? Atu kuli amor the Tana tzaisi. The people of Balaam Be'aretz are going to listen to this yeshiva guy saying over brice. They're going to listen to the amor who's saying over rav shir. Rav says the shir in public, he whispers to the Amora. The Amora is a different person, not the same one. The Tana is a yeshiva guy whose practice is to recite braises by heart. The Amora is a yeshiva guy who has a booming voice. So he can, they had no loudspeaker, even in the weekdays, they had no loudspeaker. So the Rosh Yeshiva said the shir, he would whisper the shir to the Amora, and the Amora would say it over. So no one says, Balabatim, they're not going to listen to this yeshiva guy, they're going to listen to the Amora. Was saying over, Otu Kuliyamu Latana Tzaisi. Everyone's going to listen to this yeshiva guy. Lamar Tzaisi. They're going to listen to one who says over the shir. So what did he get so upset about? And for the Gemara, the Maisa Shohaya was a little different. Not like we started off. Toni Tanak Hamid Derav Hamavashal B'Shabbos. No. If he would have said Hamavashal B'Shabbos, Rav would not get so upset. That's the Braisa. That's the Braisa on the fifth line from the top. Hamavashal B'Shabbos Shoyach Meslech the Reb Meir. The Maisha Shoya was, and for the Gemara, I'm Nachma Yitzchak, Tana, the Yeshiva guy who was reciting the Braise, said over a different Loshen, not Hamavasha B'Shabbos, Shoyche, Tana Kamei Derav. He said the following, Hashoyche B'Shabbos B'Shoyge Gyochel, V'mezid Lo Yeyochel. And then Rav got upset, no, even though Reb Meir holds, Lo Kantzin and Hashoyge Gotu Mezid, that's Hamavashal B'Shabbos, B'Shoygeg, there's no penalty, and nor is there a problem of Muktzah. But Hashoychet B'Shabbos, Rav held that there's a problem of Muktzah, And Rav Meir would never say mutter. Rav Meir says, Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'shege ye'ochel. But Ashechet b'Shabbos, Rav Meir would never say. So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says. No, the Maaseh Shoy was Tana Shechet Tana Kamei Derav. Ashechet b'Shabbos b'shege ye'ochel b'meizet le'yochel. And Amalei got upset. So he said, my daitach, you think you're saying over Rav Meir's opinion. My daitach, Rav Meir, you're wrong. Why it's not mukze? Because even before you cook the food, cook the chicken, you cook the vegetables, whatever, it was roi lokus. Some people nibble on raw food. It's not normal. Some people nibble on raw food. So since Rashi says the word koseis, or lokus, means to eat, to chew something that's not normal to eat. If you're eating potato chips or you're eating chicken or flesh, normal, that's called achila. Locus means to chew something that's not normal. I take a raw piece of chicken and I'm chewing on it. So that's what he says. By Hamavashel b'Shabbos, the fellow cooked the food on Shabbos. So Meir holds the b'shogeg, there's no penalty. I let it be muktzeh. He says, no. Since some people would nibble on it raw, said had a shem machal before, and continue to have a shem machal afterwards. So it's Michael before, Michael afterwards, not mukta. What, you're going to take a live animal and start chewing it? So he says, since the animal was alive at the beginning of Shabbos, it doesn't have a shame Michael at all. Loi, so Rav Meir would never say, it doesn't help that you say there's no penalty. Because over here it's going to be mukta. But that's not correct. Because Rav made a comment on the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes, Ashechet b'Shabbos. And Rav said, it's only Mutter on Matzoi Shabbos, not Mutter on Shabbos. Shabbos is parallel to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not Mutter to eat it today, because Yom Kippur, Inisim Esnav Shesechem. So Rav said, for the Mishnah's Mashma, that you're only allowed to eat the flesh on Matzoi Shabbos, and it must be Alibe de Reb Yudah. He holds Kansin and Shogat Amazin. Why do they have to say it's only Aliva Rav Yudah? They can't show God amazing. But Shechet b'Shabbos, Shechet b'Shabbos is mukta. That's why you're not allowed to eat it, because the live animal is not right locus. So don't you see from the Mishnah that when Rav Nachman Yitzchak is explaining why Rav got so upset at the Yeshiva Bachur recited the Braisa? So the Gemara asked the Kasha, but you see, it's not true. What we just said is not Hamas Nisan. The Shechetu, the Mishnah Yudal and Amalf goes on Shechet b'Shabbos. Yom Rav Hunan, we just said before, Dorish Chi Barav Mishmei Darav, Asur Bachil Lili Yoyma. But that's not Chabar in the name of Rabbi Yudah, yeah, the whole story. Only according to Rabbi Yudah. Oh, Rabbi Meir, sure, if you're all like Rabbi Meir, Loi Kansinu Shotam, Otomezit, so then you may eat the flesh even on Shabbos. Aye, but it wasn't Roy Locus while it was a live animal. So you see, that's not correct. You see, even though it was a live animal, it wasn't Roy Locus, it's not called Muktzeh. The live animal was Omid L'Shchita, so that's what Abai kept on raising. You dial on him at Aleph, you dial on him at Beis, Abai keeps on harping on the same theme. A live animal is Omid L'Shchita, and has a Shem Oichel, even though it's not Roy Locus. Has a Shem Oichel already on Erev Shabbos. So don't you see that where Rav just said, where Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained why the Rav gets so upset, because it's not correct. The fellow who said over the Brisim didn't say it over Hamavashel B'Shabbos, said Ashechet B'Shabbos. Shechet b'Shabbos is going to be mukta because not roi lokus. The Gemara says no, but it's wrong what he just what Rav Nachman Yitzchak said. Nazar chavar lemeim Rav Yudah horeb meir shori. So the Gemara says how can it be? But it's not roi lokus, so it should be mukta. So the Gemara says no. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is right. Ki shori em for the Gemara. When did Rav say? When did the chavarayas say that if the din would have been like Rav Meir, like Hansin and Ashok got amazed? If he shechts b'Shabbos, it would be mutter. So the Gemara, what's with the issue of mukta? Kishori Rav Meir. When would Rav Meir say that your lad there's no knas b'shoigeg? Look on to show God amazing, and there's no issue of mukta. That's only kikon shaylo chaylo mebod yom. You had a chaylo mesukan on Friday afternoon, and the doctor said we may have to shech the behema for him. They didn't have any refrigeration. So they're not going to shecht it on Erev Shabbos, and they turn out that they won't need it. It'll just get ruined. That's enough food for Shabbos. So they had this animal, kosher animal, kosher chicken, whatever it was, on Erev Shabbos, and they knew from the doctor that they may have to shecht it on Shabbos, shecht on the chayla b'Shabbos. He permitted to shecht for a chayla on Shabbos if there may be a suffix, suffix pikoch nefesh. He may save his life. So since we're talking with Anukim Tepshat, we're talking about a case that had a chayla misukon on Erev Shabbos, and therefore we were planning to, we thought we may have to shecht it on Shabbos to save the life of the chayla. So therefore, in that case, even though it's not really lakus before you shecht it, that's not called muktzah. In that case, I had a shem eichel before. If he didn't have a chayla mesukan mebod yom, then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, according to Rav, it'll be muktzah because it wasn't roi lakus. He only gets the shem eichel in the middle of Shabbat. That's noilat. So it wasn't hucham mebod yom. But if it was a chayla mesukan on Erev Shabbos, so we were planning possibly to shecht it on Shabbos to save his life. So then the planning gives it a shem eichel. Frag di Gemara, e hachi. That's the story that you're talking about in case you had a chayla mesukan on Erev Shabbos. So why do you say that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yudah and there's a penalty konsu shogat amesu, but he shechted behet gomer. Chayla mesukan is het gomer. Frag Gemara, kasha, e hachi. If that's the okim tepshat, hach maskinen, an okim tepshat, the Mishnah is talking about a case when they had a chayla mesukan on Erev Shabbos. Hach my time of the Rabbi Yudah the Osar. Why does Rabbi Yudah say kantsu shogat amazed? You only say kantsu aknasa mevashav b'shabbos amazed b'shogeg. If he did a malacha, if he did an iser, but if he shechted for the chayla mesukan as heter gomer, how can there be a penalty? And for the Gemara, no, there was a chayla mesukan on Erev Shabbos. And we knew on Erev Shabbos we may have to shecht the animal. So they're not, he doesn't hold like Abai, that every live animal is Zaymed Lishchita, Emed Lachila, every live animal has a Shem Eichon. Only if Hoylachim, he disagreed. Abai said it both on Yudal and Amelav, Yudal and Amelbeis. He kept on repeating it. Rav Nachman Yitzchak doesn't agree. It only has a Shem Eichon if we knew on Erev Shabbos we may have to shecht the animal. So that's what happened on Erev Shabbos, there was a Chayla Mesukan. And then the chayla got better in the middle of Shabbos. And then he went and they shechted the chicken or the behemah, not for the chayla. The chayla didn't need it. Either the chayla died already, or then why do we have to bump him up? So the hivri, either one or the other. He no longer, on Erev Shabbos, we thought we may have to shecht this chicken. And then in the middle of Shabbos, we realized that it's irrelevant. Either he got better or he dropped dead already. So we're not allowed to shecht for the chayla. And the fellow went ahead and shechted anyway. So that's Hamavashal b'Shabbos, Hashechet b'Shabbos. So that's why the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yudah, the Kona Shogat Amezid, because the Mishnah writes Shabbos Dumiya the Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur doesn't matter whether Shochet b'Shogat Amezid. You can't eat it today on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. So Shechet b'Shabbos also doesn't matter whether Shechet b'Shogat Amezid, you're not allowed to eat it today. So the Mishnah only goes like Rabbi Yudah. If it would be like Rabbi Meir, it wouldn't be Kanes Shogot Amazin, so it wouldn't be Shabbos Dumi of the Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rabbi Yudah, the Osar, why is there a penalty? It's Mutar Lagami to Shecht for the Chayla. Anything more, what happened was, on Erev Shabbos, we knew we have a Chayla Mesukan. And therefore, in this case, we hold like Abai, that I had a Shem Erechon Mebod Yom. Kan Shayla Chayla on Erev Shabbos. In the middle of Shabbos, the Hivri, it got better in the middle of Shabbos, and as the following din that they say in the name of Rav, two versions, who said, Kiho, the Oma, either Rav Acha Barada says in the name of Rav, or another version has Ramilo, Amra Yitzchak Barada, his brother. Either Rav Acha Barada or Rav Yitzchak Barada. One of the two said in the name of Rav, apparently they both learned by Rav. So one of the two said in the name of Rav, the following din, Hashech, Elochayla B'Shabbos, also Labari. If you have a chayla mesukan on Shabbos and you had a shechta chicken, so only the chayla is allowed to eat. The bari is not allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's muktzah. Because on Erev Shabbos, not like Abai. Abai says, every chicken is oimid l'shchita, and I had a shem echel on Erev Shabbos also, and then when you shechta on Shabbos, it's uchla difras. Before, on Erev Shabbos, it was a live chicken, and Shabbos became a geshacht and a chicken, but from the beginning to the end, Uchla Diva had a Shem Eichel all along. And he doesn't agree with that. He says, not true. It only has a Shem Eichel on Erev Shabbos if you have Mishi Eish L'Chayla B'Toch Beiso. So So he says, Ashechel l'chayla b'Shabbos. If you didn't know that you had a chayla on Erev Shabbos, also the bari, the healthy person is not allowed to eat the chicken or the flesh, whatever the case is, because it's muktzah, because it didn't have a shemach. Not like a bai, that all live animals are emet l'achila, they have a shemach. No. If you didn't know on Erev Shabbos, then it's going to be muktzah. However, hamavashel l'chayla b'Shabbos, you had to cook some food for the chayla on Shabbos, that's mutal lebori, that a healthy person is allowed to eat what's left over. We'll give the chayla the amount that he has to eat. We cooked the whole pot full. We didn't know how much the chayla is going to need. So we cooked the whole portion. Then the chayla only ate a little bit, so whatever's left over. So the bori is permitted to eat. Why is there a difference between hamavashel b'Shabbos and hamavashel b'Shabbos and hashechet b'Shabbos? So he says, my time, what's the logic? Hi roi lochus, v'hai ein roi lochus. The mavashel b'Shabbos had a shemerchel even before, because some people would chew it when it's raw. It's not normal. It's kosis. You should look at derech achilasa. You don't chew on raw chicken. You don't chew on raw potatoes. It's not normal. But still, since it's chazi lochus, it's roi lochus, you can chew it. It had a shemerchel before. It continues to have a shemerchel. It's only uchol diver. Abahai, but the live animal ain't a roi lochus. So that's muktzah. Amar apapa pamim, sometimes it's not exactly true. Some pamim shashech ed mutter. Sometimes you shech the chicken on Shabbos, and it's not muktzah. When is that? Kigon, shoy lachalim ebod yom. If he knew on Erev Shabbos that he may have to shech on Shabbos, Abai says all live animals are oimed l'shchita, so they had a shem urchel, it's never, uchle difference, it's never noilan. But this Gemara doesn't agree with Abai. So Rapapa disagrees with Abai. He says, if you have a chayla b'soch beis and b'od yom, and you think that you may have to shech the chicken, then it has a shem urchel b'od yom, even though it's still alive. So that's pa'amim, sometimes shech, it will be mut, it won't be mut. And pa'amim, and sometimes what? Hamavashel will be osir. Why should mevashel be osir on Shabbos? We just said it's chazi lakus. The Gemara says, kegon, shekotatz loy dala'as. What happened? Shekotatz loy dala'as. So Rashi has two pshatim. He doesn't like the second pshat. He thinks it's a joke. So Rashi thinks the correct pshat is shekotatz loy dala'as. Dala'as was mechuba lekarka. So they had, you were mevashel for the chayla b'shabbos, but it wasn't only mevashel. You had to detach the pears. The doctor said he needs fresh apple sauce. So they had to pluck off apples from the tree and cook it and make apple sauce on Shabbos. So the apples, mechuba lekarka, kotzatz lo dalas, he had to detach it from the ground. Kotzatz means mena mechuba. If it's not mena mechuba, Rashi said, you should have said, chotach lo dalas. Kotzatz means by definition mena mechuba. So since it was mechuba, mebod yom, even though when you develop the choyla sheesh b'sakana in the middle of Shabbos, you're allowed to cut it off from the tree and cook it for the choyla, but it didn't have a shem ochel mebon yom. It was not chazi lokus. You can't chew it while it's still attached to the ground. So that's the pshat Rashi. Kotz lo dalas. So it didn't have a shem ochel before, so it's mamish noilan. And Rashi has another interpretation which he rejects. He thinks it's not correct. Shekotzatz lo dalas means dalas was not chazi lokos because it was so gigantic. Sometimes you have a vegetable that's so big you can't chew it. You can only chew it. It's hard. It's hard and it's big and you can't chew it. If and when you'll cook it, then you'll make it soft. Then you'll be able to chew it. But the dalas is so hard and it's so gigantic, it's not shaykh to chew. So Rashi thinks that that's a joke. He says dalas is a vegetable that's very soft. And you can't chew it. And it's not so gigantic. You cut off a little piece, you can chew it. Rashi doesn't like the other shot. Fine. So how do we paskan halacha l'maisa? What's the end of the story? Amr abdimi menado hilchasa. Bottom line, how do we paskan? Ashechel l'chay l'bishabes muta l'bari bi'umtza. Is it like Abaye, even if he didn't know he had a chay l'mibod yom? Or is it only like Rav Papa, only if they knew they had a, then they knew on Erev Yonta, and they knew already on Erev Shabbos that to have a chayla mistukan, you may have to shech. I don't know, he doesn't say. It sounds like even if they didn't know in advance. It sounds like Rav Dimi Menador is paskening against Rav Papa, even if lo yada mibod yom that he has a chayla mesukan. Sounds like Abaye, no? Sounds like Abaye. That a live animal, since it's Tamid Lachila, has a Shem Echel already. So it's, it won't be an issue of Neuland. It had a Shem Echel before, has a Shem Echel now. So, yeah. Shechet Lachayla B'Shabbos, Muta Lebori B'Yumtza. The healthy person is allowed to, Umtza means to eat it when it's raw. My time came in the Epshel, because I was possible, Lo Shechita Ki Koshochet, Adai Te Chayla Koshochet. He's shechting the animal for the Chayla Mesukah. He's not being Marbe B'Shiur. The choyla only needs a kazais, only needs a little bit. Doesn't need the whole chicken. He doesn't need the whole chicken. But you had to shech the whole chicken for the choyla. So, and then you had to cook some of it for the choyla. So whatever you cooked for the choyla, only the choyla can eat. If some of the cooked food is left over, the bori, the healthy person, may not eat. That's the next din. Hamavashal l'choyla b'shabbos. If you cooked food on behalf of the choyla mesukan, you're allowed to. Sakonis and sofik sakona. Also the bori. The healthy person is not allowed to eat the leftover. Why? Zevisham yabe bishvilo. He may cook extra. They may have in mind the chaylebir only needs this much chicken. He's not going to eat so much. I'm going to cook twice as much, so I'll be able to eat the leftover chicken. So that's called marbe bishur. I put all of the chicken into the pot at one time. I put the pot on top of the fire at one time. I really, for the chayle, on behalf of the chayle, you only need one piece of chicken. But when I put it on the fire, I did the malacha bishul, I put two pieces of chicken. If I have the pot on the fire with liquid, and I put in one piece of chicken, then I put in another piece of chicken for myself. First piece of chicken is for the chayla, second piece of chicken is for me. So there were two different malachas. That's marbe b'malacha, that's not marbe b'shiur. That's marbe b'malacha. When he puts the pot on the fire with one piece of chicken, that's a malacha bishul. Then when he picks up the second piece of chicken, puts it into fat, and the pot for himself, that's a separate, he did a separate malacha for himself. So that he's not going to do. It's a gzeir shemi yarbe bishvili. He may put both pieces of chicken in the pot and then put the pot on top of the fire, so it's one malacha. But still, it's marbe bishurim. So marbe bishurim is also on Shabbos. And we make a gzeir. We don't allow the bori, the healthy person, to eat the leftover food after the chayla eats whatever he has to eat. We shouldn't allow the healthy person to eat the leftover mevushal dig of food, zera shem yarbe bishvilo. So if you make a zera shem yarbe bishvilo, it sounds like marbe bishurim is an isa deraisa. If the whole isa marbe bishurim is only the rabbanon, so it should be a zera l'gzera. That's what the rishonim and the achrayim point out. It would appear that marbe bishurim is deraisa. So that's a question. There's a gemara in Beitza that says that marbe bishurim is mutter. Says in the gemara Beitza. On Yontif, you're allowed to cook. There's a heterach on Abish, you're allowed to cook whatever you need for Yontif. So what if it's late in the afternoon on Yontif, and I want to have a cup of tea or coffee, and I hold the kettle under the faucet, I fill up the whole kettle. The whole kettle has 8 cups of water. Gigantic kettle has 8 cups of water. I'm not going to drink 8 cups of water. It's half an hour before the Shkia on Yontif. Yontif is coming to an end. So I'm cooking a whole kettle full of water, 1 cup of water, tea I'm going to have now. And the rest I'm going to have tonight, after Havdalah, I'll drink the rest. So the Gemara says it's muta l'chatchila to do that. Memale odam kidera mayim, and he cooks the whole thing on yonder, even though he only needs a little bit. So it says it's muta, says it's hetagomba to be marbe bishurim on yonder. That Gemara happens to be talking about yonder. This Gemara happens to be talking about Shabbos. So the Gemara here, the fact that they make a gzeir shemi arbe b'shvilo sounds like marbe b'shurim is an isa deraisa. If the whole avera of marbe b'shurim is only the rabbanon, then the gzeir should be a gzeir l'gzeir. You shouldn't really have such a gzeir. Amavasha l'chayla b'shabbos also l'bar gzeir shemi arbe b'shvilo sounds like marbe b'shurim is an isa deraisa. So if it's an isa deraisa, how come it's mutar ayontif? That's a kasha that the Rishonim worked on. So there's a famous machlokes, the Rashba and the Ran in Beitza, on that daf, Yud Zayin. But the Gemara says in Beitza, you're permitted, in Mali Odom, Kedera Mayim, he's allowed to fill the whole kettle full of water and put it on the fire on Yontif, even though he only plans to drink a little bit on Yontif. The rest, he wants to heat up to drink Amatzoy, to eat and drink Amatzoy Yontif. How come over here it sounds like it's an Issa Deraisa, and there it sounds like a Heta Gomer? What's going on? So the Rashba says that Marbe Bishom is only the Rabbanon, and they were only Machmer on Shabbos, they were never Machmer on Yontif. Shabbos is Mochamer than Yontif. So on Shabbos it's only awesome at the Rabbanon. So that's question love. It's only awesome, Marbe Bishom is only awesome Rabbanon. So why they say Hamavasha Lechol B'Shabbos also Lebori Gzeira? Shouldn't it be a Gzeira L'Gzeira? Shouldn't it be a Gzeira L'Gzeira? So that's what the Ran is not happy with the Rashba. The Rashba holds that Marbe Bishom is only an Issa de Rabbanon, and they only introduced it on Shabbos because it's Mochamer. And Yontif they never introduced it. So the Ran says that from Ar Yemar, the Ran there in Beitza, Yud Zayin says that from Ar Yemar would appear that Marbe Bishom is a Din Derais. There's also Gemara Menachos. In the beginning of Perek Rabishmal also sounds like at least the Havamin of the Gemara is that Marbe Bishom is Derais. And the Gemara has a Shada like this. A funny case. A Chayla Mesukan, and the doctor says, maybe he's a doctor from the African jungles. He analyzes, he decides what the sickness is, and he needs two apples freshly plucked off from the tree today to save his life. Sure. So I have a suffix. I have one. I can either eat, pluck off one apple and one apple to do two malachas of kotzer, or I can take one branch that has three apples and break off the branch. So I'll do one act of ktsira, but I'll have three apples. I have a choice. I can pluck off one apple separately, one apple separately. That's what the doctor says he needs. He needs two apples to save his life. So I'll be doing two acts of ktsira, or I'll do one act of ktsira, but the one branch has three apples on it. So the Gemara has a shaila, which is it better to do? So to pluck off two apples separately, that's mamsh two malachas of ktsira. So how can the Gemara have a havamina that maybe that's the lesser of the two evils? If you break up a branch that has three apples, that's you did one malach of kotzer, but you did marbe bishurim because the chol only needs two. So how can the Gemara have a something? Maybe it's perfect. Whenever you have to be mechal Shabbos for a chole, the Gemara says nachil mosa hakala kal tchila. He tried to lessen the Issa. He tried to do the least amount of Chilul Shabbos that is absolutely necessary. So let's say, I can do the Melacha, I can have a Nochri do the Melacha. So if there's a Chashash, the Nochri may be lazy, he may not drive him to the hospital right away. So it's a Safik Sakonis Nefashis, so you drive himself. But let's say the Nochri is right here. I'm walking to the car. The Nochri says, would you like me to take the Chayla? He's going to drive the car the same speed as me. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, we pass, can you have the Nachri do it? Because Amir al-Nachri lessens the Malacha. Instead of me driving, being Malacha deraisa, I'll make it into an Issa derabbanan. So you always try to minimize it. The Gemara is the Shaila, which is the lesser of the two evils? To pluck off one apple separately, one apple separately, to do two ma'isik kotzer, or to do one ktsira with three apples. So from the Havamina Gemara, you see that Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa. Otherwise, what's the suffix? Of course, you cut off the one branch that has the three apples. You only did one katsira. So that's the Havamina. Then the Gemara says that the Shaila is ridiculous. Of course, you cut off the one that has the three apples rather than do two katsiras. So that's the question. Once you get to the Maskana, maybe the whole Havamina is rejected. Maybe Marbe Bishurim is not Deraisa. Maybe it's only the Rabban. So that's what the Rashba holds. Rashbam Beitza holds on Yutes, on Yud Zayin Yutes. Rashbam holds the Marbe Bishurim is only Nisa de Rabbanon, and the Roni Gezer on Shabbos not on Yontif, and our Gemara is Taka Gzer L'Gzer. It's a Shver. The Ran doesn't like it. The Ran said, you can't say like that. If Marbe Bishurim is only the Rabbanon, so why they make a Gzer L'Gzer here? Gzer Shem Yarbe Bishurim. So he says, Shabbos and Yontif is the same. The difference is between Pikuach Nefesh and Oichal Nefesh. So the Ran says, Oichal Nefesh on Yontif is Hutra. Masha'inikein, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. So Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. So it's only Dechuya to the extent that the Chayla needs it. If you'll be Marbe B'Shiurim, you'll cook extra, that'll be an Issa D'Oraisa. The chol only needs one bowl of soup, and you're going to fill up two bowls of soup in the pot. You're going to put the pot on the fire. Bevasachas, the both bowls of soup bevasachas. It's going to do one bishul, but you're going to be marbe bishurim. So the Ran holds that's an isad deraisa. Marbe bishurim, both on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If it's b'mak mechayla, if you're doing a malachim for a chayla mesukan, that's only the chuya. So it's only nitre to the extent that you need it. To the rest, it's not mutter. But Rochon Ebshan Yantav is Mamish Hutra, Het Tagama, the Ran says. So not only is it Hutra to the extent that you plan to eat it today on Yantav, Hutra, the whole thing is mutter. So that's the famous machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran. Dor Sameach raises the possibility. Maybe not all the Lamedes Melachos on the same boat together. Maybe in some of them Marbe Bishurim will be their eyes, and others Marbe Bishurim will be their Rabbanon. Who says that they're all the same? That's a new, question. But that's a famous machlokes. The Rashba and the Ran had to deal with this topic on Marbe Bishurim. Okay, so hard Gemara. Complicated Gemara. Okay, we got to have a democratic vote. Should we do Parsha tomorrow, or should we go to the next Mishnah? So, Mr. Rabbi Finkelstein, take a vote. So, we got to run to Daven Mincha.